Turn with me this morning to Matthew 21. And it's a story of Palm Sunday, and I'm grateful for how the children portrayed it this morning. And we're going to look at it as we begin this Passion Week of Christ and what he went through this week to demonstrate his great love for every one of us. Matthew 21, beginning at verse 1. And would you stand and honor God and his word this morning? As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." And Jesus entered the temple area and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. "It is written," he said to them, "My house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers." The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children shouting in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. "Do you hear what these children are saying?" they asked him. "Yes," Jesus replied. "Have you never read, 'From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise'?" And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, where he spent the night. Father in heaven, thank you for your word today. Thank you for Palm Sunday, when Jesus was honored as an earthly king for a day. But we know that for all eternity he is going to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And of his kingdom and of his reign there's going to be no end. And it's going to go on and on. And we just want to praise you today for who you are and what you've done. And for all the many blessings that we have received because of you. Lord, today, be our teacher. Holy Spirit, open up our minds and our hearts to be receptive to your word, to your spirit. And now in the name and in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bind Satan today so your word and your spirit may do a mighty work, especially in my own heart. And Lord, today, I give you all the glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Even as Jesus approaches Jerusalem, his enemies are plotting his death. But the suffering will not come until Jesus has entered the city in triumph. riding on a lowly colt. Jesus is met by multitudes who shout praise to God for having sent this great prophet in whom they now believe. Jesus knows, however, that most of them still do not understand the true nature of his messiahship and deity, and that there are many more who still do not believe in him at all. As Jesus is now given the greatest welcome in his ministry, his enemies fear his popularity and let him have his day of glory. It was a great day, Palm Sunday. I want to ask you this morning, have you ever assumed or had expectations of someone only to find out that they didn't meet your expectations and you were disappointed? Our disciples had that experience. If you look back in Matthew 20, verses 17 through 19, just prior to this coming into the city of Jerusalem, Jesus makes an announcement regarding his death. Now, as Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside and he said to them, "We're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed, and the chief priests and the teachers of the law, they will condemn him to death and will turn him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day, he will be raised to life." Now, the disciples didn't quite understand all that he said there that day. They were hoping for a political king. They were hoping that he would deliver them from the tyranny of the Roman government. Those disciples wanted to rule and reign with Christ in an earthly ministry, but soon they would be disappointed. They had assumed things that they maybe shouldn't have assumed. And little did they know that their king was born to die. Second, the disciples were commanded to find a donkey in our text. Before Jesus enters Jerusalem, he asks two of his disciples to go to the village ahead of them and find a donkey with her colt by her side. Max Lucado writes about the man who gave his donkey to Jesus. You know, many have mentioned that when they get to heaven, they want to see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Peter, and Paul, and all the great Bible characters. But Max Lucado says, after I see Jesus, the first one I want to look for is the man who gave his donkey to Jesus. Isn't that interesting? And here we think, he's not even named here. And he's somewhat insignificant. But Max Lucado says he has questions to ask as to how he knew that he was to give Jesus the donkey. Did he have a vision? Did he hear an audible voice? Or did some prophet tell him? We don't know. It doesn't say it in the Word. But how did he know that he was supposed to give him that donkey? If the disciples were asked about this donkey, it says, "If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." The Lord has need of this donkey and this little colt. Just tell him the Lord needs them. And the amazing thing is, they were asked that, and they just let him go. Right? They just gave it to him. You know, sometimes we wonder if our little deeds will make a difference in the long haul, don't we? You know, sometimes we think we're insignificant and we're unimportant and we're not among all the great people. I've never preached in a stadium full of people. I don't intend. I ever will. There's a lot of great people. But some of the things we do might have greater significance than we realize when we look through the scripture. When this donkey was given, it was given back to God. And like this donkey, it moved Jesus and his story further down the road, right? As they came into Jerusalem that day, they came down that road with coats on the ground and palm branches. And Jesus was moved further along, right? He was moved toward the cross that Sunday. And we can look through the scriptures how God takes the uncommon use of the common and does something great. For example, Rahab's rope, right? In which she let those spies down and hid them. Or we could take Paul's bucket or basket that he was let down over the wall to escape, right? Whose basket was this? Or whose bucket was it? I don't know. Or what about David's sling? Simple little thing like a sling that was used to defeat the giant and to declare that, how do you dare defy the Lord Almighty, right? Or what about Samson's jawbone that he killed all those Philistines with? Or what about Mary's ointment? Mary of Bethany is the one who anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped them with her hair. Mary Magdalene is the one who used the ointment and anointed the head of Jesus for the burial. And yet we know that that ointment was expensive. And yet God used the common to make his point. What about the cloak that comforted Jesus in the boat? Whose was it? As he slept in the boat. What about the wood of the manger? Or what about that shoulder that was beneath that heavy Roman cross, right? God often uses the uncommon use of the common things to display his greatness. You know, everything that we have belongs to the Lord. You know, God owned that donkey, didn't he? He owns you too, Ryan, if you call him your Lord. He owns all that we have, and we're only stewards of what he gives us. He has the right to take back everything that he's given us. If you don't believe me, read the story of Job, right? He lost everything, but God had only given it to him anyway. There's a story of Pastor Ray Stedman. He was pastor of Pensacola Bible Church. Ray was traveling for a week-long series of meetings, ministry-related meetings. And he had forgotten that there was a very nice evening dinner he was to attend where he was scheduled to speak. And when he had packed, he failed to include a nice suit. I've had experiences like that. And he realized it toward the afternoon when the hour was getting late and he needed a suit. And since his motel was located next to the funeral home, he thought, I'm going to go over to the funeral home and talk to the funeral director and see if I can borrow a suit. Because they had those cheap suits, you know, they use on cadavers, right? And sure enough, they had one that fit him. And he was busy preaching away, and he's, you know, like all of us preachers, we have our motions. And so far through, he went up and going to put his hand in his pocket. The pants didn't have any pockets. They didn't need pockets, right? And he came to the realization that everything is the Lord's and we don't take anything with us, right? But he wants to use all that we have and all that we've been given to move Jesus further down the road, right? God used the donkey for his glory and for his honor that day on Palm Sunday. The third thing we see in this text is that Jesus was told to rebuke his disciples. The Luke account speaks of this incident. It says in Luke 19, 37 through 40, "And when he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' Jesus replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.'" We were created, friends, to praise our Lord. You know, some of us are pretty reserved in our praise, aren't we? I don't think it's fair just to say that we're Scandinavian. I think we don't always feel very free to praise Him. You know, these children this morning weren't intimidated by you people one bit. Do you know that? They waved their palm branches. They shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." They weren't a bit ashamed to say that. And as Jesus came in, they worshiped him and they praised him. And can you imagine, especially where I grew up, if the rocks ever started praising the Lord, it would be worse than a world war. I mean it. We grew up in the heart of the rock country. May we continue to praise our Lord for all that he's done. And even in the midst of suffering, we need to remember all of God's blessings, all of his goodness, because God is so good. And the fifth thing we see here in this text is that Jesus has a time of compassion and weeping. Also in the Luke account, verses 41 through 45, it says, "As he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city. He wept over it and said, 'If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side, and they will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you didn't recognize the time of God's coming.' Then he entered the temple area and he began to drive out those who were selling. As he approached, as he looked down on Jerusalem that day, he began to weep over the city. Why? Because there were so many who didn't know him. So many that were rejecting him as the Messiah. I don't know about you, but we don't have to look very hard or very long to find those around us and in our community who don't know Christ. And I want to ask you this morning, are you moved with compassion as you look upon them? Are you moved by the fact that this one might not spend eternity in heaven. And Jesus wept that day. And he said, if only you knew the time of his coming, what it meant. I don't think there's words to explain what Jesus was feeling that day. His heart of compassion was going out to those people because he was about to die on the cross for every one of them and redeem them from their sin. I often think of the words of a song that John W. Peterson wrote, often sang during the Easter season. It says, millions are dying, lost in their sin, waiting for someone to tell them of Jesus. And the chorus goes, won't you give your life today to spread the gospel so that Christ can save their souls and set them free? Every day, there are people going into a lost eternity because nobody told them about the Savior. And I often think of that little chorus, Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me that I may humbly do my part to win that soul for thee. All we have to do is tell them what Jesus has done for us. And Jesus came in that day weeping. Luke, you didn't portray that very good this morning. We were kind of laughing as the donkey and Jesus came in. But Jesus was really weeping when he looked down on Jerusalem. And the last thing in these texts, and those children are not only praising him on Palm Sunday, but it overflowed into the next day when Jesus went into the temple. And this is what it says in our text today in verses 14 through 16. The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children shouting in the temple area, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. Do you hear what the children are saying? They asked him. Yes, replied Jesus. Have you never read from the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise? You know, the chief priests and the teachers of the law were angry. They were offended and resentful of Jesus because of what he was doing and the praise he was receiving. The children were shouting praises. I can't help but think of the passage regarding the millennium when I read what the children were doing. It says in Isaiah 11:6, the wolf will live with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child shall lead them. Not only will a little child lead these various animals, but often God uses little children to lead their parents to Christ. That's why KFC is important, as they take those Bible verses home and they share them with their parents. That's why it's important that we hide God's word in our heart, that we might have something to share when the Holy Spirit prompts us to share with somebody else. This Palm Sunday was a magnificent day as Jesus was glorified that day. And not just the children, but the crowd of disciples, the followers of Jesus, we're praising him, right? Nobody is exempt then. All of Jesus' followers were praising him for the wonderful things that he did, the miracles, and listening to the children shouting in the temple, Hosanna, right? Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And yet, as we think of that, Hosanna, Lord, save us now. Maybe this morning you're here and maybe you don't know Christ. But maybe your heart cry is Hosanna, Lord, save me now. We can know a lot of things about God. We can know a lot of things about his word. But we have to experience Jesus in our heart and know him for certain. And today I believe there are a lot of people that their heart cry is, Lord, save me now. Amen. Father, thank you for this Palm Sunday. Thank you for the privilege we have to worship you. Thank you that your heart's desire for all people is that they might know you and that you would save them. Lord, today, you know our hearts. You know where we're at in our relationship with you. And Lord, if there's somebody here who hasn't called on your name, the scripture says whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And Lord, may that one call on your name this morning, sitting in the chairs here. Just call out to him. Ask him to come into your heart. And those of us who know you, may you fill our hearts with praise and thanks and worship for such an awesome God. And we give you all the glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.